Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Mm-hmm. How many of y'all remember that? Yes, absolutely. So not true, right? So not true. And we think that talk is cheap. You know, anyone can talk big. We certainly see that every night on the news. We don't think much of people who are all talk, right? Trying to change the world with our words is like trying to knock over a concrete wall by throwing light bulbs at it. Mm-hmm. And we don't believe that words really mean much, do we? Do you remember this other saying, actions speak louder than words? Mm-hmm. We think we should be judged by what we do and not by what we say. It's hard for us to take our words seriously. But if words are unimportant, then why is it so difficult to say some things? Speaking from the heart is hard. The more important the subject, the more difficult it is to talk about it. How do you bring up the most significant subjects? Well, it seems that we never get around to talking about the most important issues. Why is it easier to talk about the weather than anything we hold dear? Why is it that we who attend worship on Sunday find it hard to talk about our faith on Monday? What are people saying about me? Jesus asked. Oh, the disciples look nervously at each other and think, oh no, he's heard the rumors. There's a lot of gossip going around about Jesus. He usually seems glad to steer away from the subject, but now he's asking, who do people say that I am? Oh, Jesus has heard the rumors. The religious leaders have been asking, by what authority does he do these things? Where did he go to seminary? Did he pass all his ordination exams? Why should we listen to him? Jesus has heard the rumors. By what authority do you heal? Do you have a medical license? Should you be practicing medicine? Jesus has heard the rumors. The Pharisees are saying that Jesus eats with sinners. He doesn't wash his hands before eating and has gone into the homes of immoral people. He talks to women in public, and he even lets them touch him. He also touches the blind, the deaf, and the lame, the outcasts of society. Jesus has heard the rumors. The religious leaders are saying, well, you know, birds of a feather flock together. You're known by the company you keep. And Jesus goes just too far. Who do people say that I am? After some head scratching, one of the disciples finally responds, well, you know, some say you're John the Baptist, but we know better than that. But after John was beheaded, they started saying you were John, raised from the dead. The others try to remember what they've heard. Well, I think you're Elijah or one of the great prophets. Yeah, that's right. Because we recognize your courage. And then Christ looks them in the eye and asks a far more difficult question. But who do you say that I am? Well, some of the disciples, they look down and they shuffle their flip-flops and you know, they don't want to make eye contact. They're kind of like students hoping that the teacher won't call on them. And who knows how long the silence lasts before Peter breaks it with his answer. You are Christ, the Messiah. The first question, who do people say that I am, is, well, it's easy for the 12, and it's easy for us, because we can just look it up, right? We can break out our phone, go to Google, and say, who is Jesus? And we'll have the answer, right? Mm-hmm. Through the centuries, writers have attempted to answer the question, who do people say that I am? Martin Luther King Jr. called Jesus an extremist for love, truth, and goodness. Ernest Renan called Jesus a sentimental idealist. David Strauss saw Jesus as a fanatic. T.S. Eliot pictured Christ the tiger. James Cone called Jesus the black messiah. Mm-hmm. And Paul Tillich called Christ the new beginning. Dietrich Bonhoeffer saw Christ as the man for others. When Jürgen Moltmann asserted that Christ was the crucified God. The variety of responses to the question, who is Jesus, kind of makes you wonder if Jesus is like an empty canvas on which we can just paint whatever we want. Well, religious art indicates that most people see Jesus in their own image, right? American artists paint Jesus as an American. The Asian knows a Far Eastern Jesus. The African, a black Jesus. And the Swede, a blonde, blue-eyed Jesus. We spend a lot of time on that first question. Who do people say Jesus is? We come to church, we read the Bible, we study the scriptures, we examine contemporary literature, and share our thoughts about Jesus. It may be that sometimes we avoid the second question by focusing on the first. We can go through the motions without opening our hearts. We can become aficionados of Christ, learning first century facts. We can approach Jesus as a great teacher who should be studied for his helpful ideas. Treating Jesus as an instructor, I think, is a great temptation for the church. Christians discuss Jesus a lot, but talking about Jesus is quite different from being committed to Jesus. It's a difference, I think, between discussing a loved one and sending a love letter. We start sounding like Paul, if we're not careful, writing elaborate theories about Christ as the image of the invisible God in whom all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, without also speaking from the heart, like John, about God who loves us enough to send Christ into the world. It's tempting to talk about who Jesus is in religious terms that include our heads, but not our hearts. We start cutting our theological distinctions very thinly, looking for the tiniest differences that separate us instead of the truths that hold us together. The difference between who do people say that I am and who do you say that I am is only one word. But that word makes a huge difference. The question moves from popular opinion to personal belief. There's no escape into academic considerations or comfortable objectivity. This question demands not so much the insight of our minds as the commitment of our hearts. All of us have to ask, well, what about me? What do I say about Christ? How does my life, the way I go about the world, the manner in which I relate to others each day, how does my life demonstrate that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah? I'm a Christian who has been in church, well, all my life, since I was probably 6 months old. But I don't often say this enough. This is who Jesus is to me. Jesus is God's love and grace to me. And like many, I'm often disappointed in myself. I've been given so much. Loving parents and family, magnificent teachers and mentors, a wonderful extended family, such a caring church. I constantly remind myself that I should be more, and I make foolish mistakes. I should do more for the lost, the poor, the disagreeable, and the hurting. I should be further along than I am. But as I read about Jesus, I discover again that God's love is like that of a loving parent, a magnificent teacher, a wonderful family, a caring church. God's love is greater than my failures. The gospel is that God knows I'm not worthy, and God loves me anyway. Jesus shows me that the entire world is filled with God's goodness. God's grace is part of each and every day. And God has placed deep, deep joy in every corner beneath every circumstance. I just need to learn to read the signs. The Christian message stands or falls on the truth of grace. My faith is not in making myself acceptable. My faith is in the acceptance of God that Jesus proclaimed. Jesus means grace for me, grace for you, and grace for the entire world. And the world can be a hard place, and it can make you feel unloved. But because of Christ, the Messiah, I believe that God loves me and God loves you. What Jesus does, among so many things, is Christ challenges us to live a life that matters. Christ is not always exactly who we want Christ to be. We know that Christ loves us, but we also know that Christ confronts, disturbs, distresses, troubles, bothers, interrupts, and unsettles us too. If you only want a peaceful life, I think you should steer clear of Christ. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Here's what Christ wants. Christ says, 'Give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you.' No half measures are any good. Hand over your life, all the desires which you think innocent as well as the ones that you think wicked. The whole outfit. Jesus gathered his disciples who listened to his message and were transformed by it. Jesus called them to care for the broken and the outcast and the disenfranchised. Those first believers, that motley crew, became the foundation on which God built the church. And Christ calls us to that same purpose, to be part of God's kingdom, to spend our journey learning about Christ and being a follower of the way. Jesus comes to disturb our selfishness, to challenge our prejudices, and to reorder our priorities. Jesus wants each and every one of us to become who we were truly created to be. It hasn't been my experience that follow Jesus makes your life easier. To take Jesus seriously is difficult. But I know I need to keep following. And like many of you, I can't fully explain or articulate Christ's presence in my life. But I can't imagine my life without Christ as a part of it. When I see the goodness of Jesus, I'm overwhelmed. And maybe I become just a little bit more like Jesus. In Jesus' eyes, I see new possibilities within me. In Jesus' tears, I recognize my own. In Jesus' laughter, I find my deepest joy. And they are sometimes too rare, but in my best, holiest moments, Christ means everything to me. Genesis tells us that it all began as God spoke the words of creation. The prophet Isaiah writes, "The word of God goes forth and will not return until it accomplishes its end." And John's beautiful gospel starts, "In the beginning was the Word." Christ changed the world forever with the words he spoke. And our words reveal what God is doing in us. And our words have such power. With our words, we destroy. With our words, we bring life. By our words, we will be justified. And by our words, we will be condemned. And from the same mouth comes blessings and curses. So what should you say to the God who calls you to speak good words? How should you respond to Jesus when he asks you, "But who do you say that I am?" Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.